Happy Easter, WQBX audience. It's great to have you here with us today here on this wonderful Sunday morning. And or if you're listening to this on our podcast at agchurch.net, we're so glad and honored to have you with us as we're going to be talking today and on Unscripted about Easter and the resurrection. And so I hope you'll stay tuned with us for this whole time that we're together. I wanted to take this opportunity just to thank you for being a part of our audience and the various ministries that we've had the opportunity to bring on here and to share with you, and some really great ministries that we're very, very grateful for and what they're doing in this Central Michigan area. And we have so much more to come. We're going to be sitting down with Jake Gregory and Nathan Workman, and they'll be on next weekend, and we're going to be talking about Hope House and what they're up to and what they're doing and helping the homeless and needy in our communities. And so we just have a lot of really great things that we're getting into, and I'm just really excited about that. Well, I hope this morning finds you doing well, and that if you're on your way to church somewhere, that you're celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of those big Sundays that people tend to go to church. They say the two big ones are Christmas Eve or Christmas Day and then Easter Sunday. And so I hope that if you're on your way to church, wherever it is that you go to church at, that you have a great expectation to hear and learn about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, we already know that he has resurrected already. We're just celebrating that here today, this morning. If you're not going to church anywhere, let me have this opportunity just to share with you and encourage you about what the resurrection actually means and what the resurrection actually does for us and to understand. You know, Paul made a really powerful statement, and we'll look at this in a few moments, but he basically said, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Well, what does all of that mean? What does that mean for you and I in understanding about the resurrection and how that applies to our lives? We see a lot of crosses that people will use to exhibit their faith, that we understand of what Jesus went through in the crucifixion and what took place as he hung upon the cross. But beyond that, understanding how does the resurrection actually play in to the whole story of what Jesus came to do for us in the redemptive story. So I wanted to read a couple of my favorite quotes to you. I think these will really be an encouragement to you. Frederick Buechner said this, "The resurrection means that the worst thing is never the last thing." Isn't that the truth? You can imagine the disciples, how discouraged and broken they were on Saturday, and this very quiet Sabbath that they're experiencing, and how broken that they actually were. But we have to remember that the resurrection, no matter what's going on in our lives, the resurrection means that the worst thing is never the last thing. If you're troubled, if you're going through a very difficult time right now, let's just remember here that even though it might be the worst thing, it's definitely not the last thing. Sometimes here in Michigan, you know, the weather can get so bad, and my wife and I, we farm, and a small hobby farm, excuse me, and we can get a little discouraged sometimes when the winds get really high or there's a lot of rain. We've had our barn that's flooded before, or there's a really high snow where we've had 12 inches of snow and there's big drifts. And you can get a little discouraged during those times, but somebody's made this statement, which really helped me to be able to get through that, in that it won't last forever. It's not going to be forever. So the worst thing is not the last thing. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, no right-minded person would have glorified anything so hideous and repulsive as a cross stained with the blood of Jesus. An unopened grave would never have opened up heaven. Billy Graham made that statement. So powerful. This is the message of the resurrection. Life springs forth from death. A desert becomes a garden. Beauty transcends the ugly. Love overcomes hatred. A tomb is emptied. The grim and haunting outline of a cross is swallowed in the glow of an Easter morning sunrise. Amen. And Max Anders said that. What a powerful statement. The haunting outline of a cross is swallowed in the glow of an Easter morning sunrise. Hell and grave unite their force to hold our God in vain. The sleeping conqueror rose and burst their feeble chain. Isaac Watts from The Blessed Morning. Powerful statement. Before the resurrection of Christ, the Holy Spirit came upon individuals only on certain occasions and for special tasks. But now, after the resurrection, Christ, through the Holy Spirit, dwells in the heart of every believer to give us supernatural power in living our daily lives. And that's Billy Graham as well. So we want to talk about the resurrection. What does the scripture say about the resurrection? We know that this is a time that people are celebrating spring, obviously, you know, bunny rabbits and Easter rabbits and chocolate rabbits and jelly beans and all the different things that go along, the different candies that people will have, Peeps, little baby marshmallow chicks. These are all part of the celebration of Easter and the resurrection. But what does it really mean for you and I? What does the scripture tell us is the real purpose of the resurrection? And so I want to read from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 19. And I know this is a little different than what we typically do. We do a lot of interviewing. But on these special occasions, I like to take just a few moments to really share with you from my heart about what this actually means. What is this really all about? Why do all of these ministries that we've talked about here right on WQBX, why do they do what they do? And really, what I'm about to share with you is that very reason, because of the great sacrifice and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in 1 Corinthians 15:12, it says, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, it's empty, it's worthless, and you're still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable." And then 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verses 54 through 57 says this, "So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, these are powerful, powerful verses, and talking about the resurrection and the how important it is in the whole redemptive story of Jesus Christ, the resurrection actually is for you and I. And how that we need to, in our lives, as we recognize what that resurrection has done for us, that that has sealed the promises. Someone said, and I think it's a powerful statement, that the resurrection is the Father's amen to Jesus on the cross saying, "It is finished." And I think there's a lot of truth to that, that the power of that that has been applied, that you and I are experiencing the amen by the Father in heaven to Jesus, "It is finished," or "It is accomplished," is what he has stated. So we need to understand the power of the resurrection and how that resurrection applies to our lives and how that we can apply this on a daily basis. Now, I've been to Israel and I've been in Jerusalem. My wife and I were there last October. And we actually went to where the, according to archaeologists, where the tomb, where Jesus was laid. We also went to where he was crucified at, and the actual spots. And while we were there, I want to tell you the good news. Jesus, there was no body that was in that tomb. There's no body there. and how powerful that is, that they have never, there's been no one that's been able to find the body of the Lord Jesus. I mean, it's just, and people have said, well, then that means he didn't exist because the whole thing is a hoax. Well, and I understand why people would think that, but here's some things, the realities we have to take a look at. One, history teaches us that Jesus actually was from Nazareth, and that he was from Galilee, and that he did walk in Jerusalem, and that he was crucified. A man by the name of Josephus, who was a Jewish historian, he was not a Christian, actually wrote about Jesus. And so he had recorded. You say, well, I don't know how that makes it valid. Well, we just have to ask ourselves the question, then is any of our history valid? We weren't there. We didn't experience it. We didn't see it. All we're going is off of the writings of other people. Well, if Jesus, according to Josephus, did exist and was a person who was brought before the high priest, he was a person that was put on trial that by the Jews and then brought before Pilate on trial, that he actually was beaten, crucified, and died, then the story has to have some validity to it, that this Jesus is not a myth, that he's not made up, and that the resurrection actually indeed is a fact, because Jesus was real and he did rise from the dead. There's so many incredible things that just in the testimony of the resurrection that just speak to the validity that there's nothing that man could do. One is they had the tomb sealed that Jesus was placed within after he had died, and they sealed it with a giant rock that they had rolled in front of it that nobody could, I mean, it took several men to be able to move that out of the way. You say, well, maybe his disciples came in and moved it out of the way. The other problem is that we know that the Romans, who were the most trained, disciplined soldiers during that time and had conquered most of the existing world at that point, that they were guarding that tomb. And there's no way that Jesus' disciples came in and overtook Roman soldiers and then moved the stone out of the way and then carried his body off. Some people have, when I was in college, they talked about the swoon theory, that Jesus swooned on the cross, that he really didn't die, and they took him down. Okay, well, they stuck a spear in his side, so if he wasn't dead, that would have definitely taken care of it. So there's just a lot of, you know, people have tried to, undo some of this testimony about what took place, but it doesn't make any logical sense to do that, except that we just recognize that it takes faith to believe that it's true, that this, what actually happened did actually take place, and just because of all of the evidences that we have, and the evidence that we do not have a body. It wasn't there in his tomb. It never stayed in that tomb. He may have been there in that tomb, but he resurrected from the dead on early Sunday morning, according to the scriptures. So what does that mean for you and I? One is that the resurrection is incomparable. There's nothing to compare it to. And there had been other people that we read about in the scriptures that had been resurrected from the dead, but it's not the same, okay? So it's not just a resurrection like Jairus' daughter who had died, or the widow's son at Nain who had been resurrected from the dead, or even Lazarus, who Jesus had called forth. It said, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus came forth after being dead for several days. His resurrection is a completely different kind of resurrection. Listen to these verses in John 11:25. Jesus said to the woman, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. So his resurrection provides a resurrection for you and I as well, as we believe on him. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18 says, I am he who lives and was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. I have the keys of Hades and of death, excuse me. So the power of this testimony of Jesus and what he said about himself is that the resurrection is more than just his resurrection from the dead, but it actually opens up the door for our resurrection, that death is not the finality. You know, the truth is that death is really not the end, or it's the cessation of life here on this earth, but it is not the cessation of life, because you are far more than a physical body. And you can call it whatever you want to call it. You can call it energy or life force, but you are more than just this physical body that you deal with and look at every day. There is an aspect of you that when this body ceases to function, that will continue to operate. And the great good news is that the gospel says that Jesus has provided a way that if you believe on him, you will be with him, and you'll be with him always because of the resurrection and the power that he has secured through the resurrection. So the resurrection is incomparable. There's nothing that can compare to what the resurrection has done in coming back to life, or the dead coming back to life. We've got plenty of people that have come back to life through the years, of man's history, that were dead for minutes, others that were dead longer. And yet it's his resurrection that makes the total difference. The resurrection is also indispensable. Christ's resurrection for you and I is confirmation to us that the Father in heaven has accepted his great sacrifice for us. Listen to this out of Romans chapter 4 and verse 25. Christ was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. If you look at that in the Passion Translation, it says, Jesus was handed over to be crucified for the forgiveness of our sins and was raised back to life to prove that he had made us right with God. The resurrection is not a theological appendix to the crucifixion. Nice to have, but no real application. The resurrection is a must-have, because it is through his resurrection that you and I experience the forgiveness of sins through the crucified life of what he went through for us, and were raised to life to walk in the newness of that life. Christ's death and his resurrection are interwoven. One does not exist without the other. You have to have both. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 5, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture, and he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. There is no salvation for sin unless Jesus is alive. That's why Paul said, our preaching is useless and your faith is in vain if Christ is not raised, that Christ must be raised. Isaiah 25:8 says, he will swallow up death forever, and the Lord will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. 1 Corinthians 15:54. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death is not natural. This was not God's natural plan. Death is a result of sin. Man was not created to die, but because of man's rebellion, because man sinned against God, he experiences death. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know sometimes when we hear the word sin, or we hear rebellion, or we hear that you must be born again, that we take along with that some very negative connotations, that You know, we think, well, I'm a pretty good person. I mean, I'm not really doing anything bad. Well, here, you know, I'm not a murderer, or, you know, I'm not committing really, really, really bad sins. I don't know how that we judge one sin is worse than another sin. Sin is sin, according to the scripture. In fact, one of the apostles, when he was writing, said that if you committed one sin, you've committed all the other sins, because sin is sin, basically. So for us, and to understand about what Jesus has done for us, that he looks at us and he knows, even before he goes to the cross and dies and before he is resurrected, he knows what kind of people we are. He knows what kind of people we're going to be, that we're far from God because of sinfulness that entered into this world through the choices that Adam and Eve made in the garden. He was the first Adam. Jesus Christ, according to the scripture, is the second Adam. So that leads us to understand that because of the choices that have been made by mankind, if we take Adam as mankind, that the choices that have been made by mankind is what has really led to the problems that we deal with. You know, people ask sometimes, well, why we have all these problems in the world? Why do we have all these weather problems? Why do we have all of these, you know, things that take place, you know, droughts that happen and floods that happen and tornadoes and all these different issues that we deal with our environment? Well, one is just because of man's greed and man's sinfulness. Man has made the wrong choices in how he has, we're doing better, but we've got a long way to go. I'm not an environmentalist in any way, but I do believe that what God has blessed us with, we need to take care of. We don't need to ruin it and corrupt it and make it so it's untenable and unusable any longer. We need to take care of what we have. And God has blessed us. Not Mother Earth has blessed us, but God the Father has blessed us with this wonderful world. But we can make all kinds of choices in our world that can corrupt what God has given to us. And that's what sinfulness has done. That's what disobedience has done through the choices of mankind, and then our individual choices that we have made. So the great good news, though, is that Jesus Christ, knowing full and well our own choices that we would make and that they would go against the choices that God would make for our lives, he still says, I make a way for you. I make a way. And he's made this really powerful statement in John. He's in the Gospel of John. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm the life. And no one gets to the Father except through me. He said, so look, if you think that you can do everything right and that's going to make everything okay, it's not. Everything is too far gone already, all right? So it's not doing all the right things that's going to bring you to the Father. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So that's why 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, that he has provided a way for us that we can know his eternal life, that we can experience the goodness and the grace of God. I love the story about these communist Chinese, that they were set with the task that they were to go forth and to take out, this is in 1948, to destroy all of the Christian churches in China, to get rid of them. And they went out and started destroying these churches, and they weren't real big churches, but they started to destroy them. And there was one that they got to was a little bit bigger, and they started to destroy that church building and everything that was in it. Well, it became late in the day, and so they just decided that they would just camp there on the grounds and wait till the next day, till sunlight came out. Well, while they're laying there on the ground, one of the Chinese soldiers, he looks up and he sees a crucifix. And you know, a crucifix, of course, has Jesus hanging on the cross. It's not just a cross, but it would actually have him hanging on the cross. And he made this statement while he was laying there looking up at it after several moments of just contemplating what he was looking at. He said, you know, I've never heard of a God that suffered for his people. I never have heard that. But you know, the truth is, we've heard about a lot of gods that you have to suffer for your God. Well, the good news is that God suffered for you. He paid a price. He paid a debt he didn't owe. You and I, we owed a debt we could not pay. And we needed someone, we needed God to intervene. And that's what happened for you and I, that God came down, that he became a man and suffered the punishment that we deserved so we could experience that eternal life. Now, that sounds a lot better than what I was taught as a kid about Christianity and about church. That's the biblical story. That's what the apostles believed in. They knew they weren't perfect, but they knew that who they believed in is perfect. And that if they follow him and if they allow the work that he has done for them to be a part of their lives, they can walk in a new life through the power of the resurrection. So we talked about how that the resurrection is incomparable. We talked about how that the resurrection is interwoven into the whole story, that it's indispensable. And then I want to talk to you just as we're wrapping up here today, that how the resurrection is inescapable. It is inescapable because it makes clear that eternity is a reality, that eternity is a reality for all of us in one way or another. Hebrews 9:27 says, and it is an appointed for men to die once, but after this is the judgment. So if we have accepted Christ, we stand upon the work of Christ and what he has done, which gains us eternal life in heaven. Man's going to live eternally one way or another because our very nature, our very life nature comes from God. So God doesn't cease to exist. That nature, that life that's in us that has been separated from God, our spiritual lives will live forever, even though that without Christ, we're under the burden of this sin in our spiritual life. But through Christ, if we have received Jesus Christ into our lives, the burden of that sin is taken away. But if we die in our sins, then when we do die and stand before the judgment of God, especially as we have heard about this way that Jesus has provided for us, that we have no vindication. And so we stand on our own merit, which will not work. We are destined to be separated from God for all eternity without Christ. And that's when I talk about the resurrection is inescapable for us. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, he has made everything beautiful in its time, and he's also put eternity in our hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. The only way to deprive death of its terror is freedom from sin. And that is found in Christ alone. That's found in Christ alone. You and I, we have to make that choice in our lives now. You don't get to make it later after you're dead. You make it now that I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, yeah, but Brother Jolliffe, if I become a Christian, man, I'm going to lose friends. If I believe in God and believe in what Jesus did in the resurrection and receive forgiveness of sins, I'm not going to have any fun anymore. Well, see, those are all the things that you're trying to understand without God in your life. When we come to Christ and we give our lives to Christ, we find real joy, real peace. My life was miserable before Christ. And as I have become a believer and a follower of Christ, I have found the true peace and the true joy that only God can give in our lives. A guy by the name of Ricky Gervais, who is a comedian, and he is interviewed on TV. He's been in quite a few movies. He did one called Afterlife, and there's a scene in that movie in a graveyard where a man encounters a lady who is at the grave of her husband, and she says to the gentleman there, "Well, it's all very sad, but I would rather live missing him than to think of him living missing me." Pretty powerful statement. And Gervais says, "But I'm too selfish." In his interview, he says, "I don't believe that at all. No, I want to die first. I want to die first." And the interviewer said, "But wait a minute. It's normal to fear death. It's normal to fear being dead." To which he replies, "I don't fear death. I won't know about it. That's the best thing about being dead. You don't know about it. It's like being stupid. It's only painful for others. I don't believe in the afterlife, so I don't think there's anything to fear after death. That's just, my belief, Well, The truth is, it couldn't be any more wrong, that there is way more to us than just what is seen. We are spiritual beings in physical bodies, and that there is an afterlife. Now, you can reject all of that, but I want you to know that even as you reject it, God loves you, and He will always be there for you in this life, that if you'll call on His name, you will be saved. Acts 17:31 says this, "Because He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained, He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him, Jesus Christ, from the dead." He did that for you. And so I just want to invite you today. You can do this while you're driving or wherever you're at right now, listening to this broadcast. If you have never accepted Christ into your life and you'd like to do that, the Holy Spirit is talking to your heart that you're not right with God. You're far from God. I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm just asking you right now to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not put everything ahead here on, let's not lay any more on you than just that, that you need Jesus Christ to become the Lord and Master of your life, that you need to surrender your life to Him and say, "Lord Jesus, I need help." And you might be one of those ones that's going through horrible pain right now. And I understand that, and God understands that. But He also has made a way to be with you. He said, "I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you." You may have experienced this in the last couple of months, a death in your family where your husband passed away or your wife passed away or one of your children. How horrible all of those things are. A mom, a dad, it's just so difficult for us. And sometimes we can feel very, very, very alone. But I want you to know that there is a real God. There is a real presence, and there is a real power. There's a real salvation and experience that you can have right now. And you say, "Well, Richard, what do I do?" Well, it's real simple. You call on the name of the Lord. You know, if you call for God, God hears you. You say, "Lord, I need you in my life. Lord Jesus, I need you to come into my life. I turn away from sin, and I turn to you. I ask you to save me and give me the new life through the power of the resurrection that you've provided." And you know, I believe that as you make that call to the Lord right now, I believe the Lord will do that in your life. And if there's anything we can do, you can reach us through our website at agchurchalphageorgechurch.net. There's all kinds of information there about how you can contact me. And if you'd like prayer or you'd just like somebody to encourage you or one of the great churches that's right here in Central Michigan, just to go there and say, "Hey, I was listening to Unscripted. I asked Christ into my life today." Or maybe you knew about Jesus, but you got away from the truth of the gospel and entered back into living a sinful life. But today you've made the decision, "God, I'm back. I'm back." Well, let somebody know. In fact, don't waste any time. Do it right now if you can, and let somebody know, "I've asked Christ to be a part of my life." And that's the great good news. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us because of the great love that He had for us. It's my honor to be with you here on this Easter Sunday. You have a great, great day today. If you're getting together with family or whatever that you're going to be doing, it's a blessing to be with you, WQBX audience, and we'll be right back here next week.